Please listen carefully.
Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, Erica. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'm excited that we can finally collaborate and chat. And we have been friends for a long time, but why don't you give everybody at home listening a brief background about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So thanks again for having me. I'm like super excited to be here. Obviously, like you said, we've been friends forever, but I'm just like what you've been doing lately with your podcast, social media pages, and I love all of your content. I'm on there all the time.
Thank you.
So I'm really excited to be here. So me, a little bit about me, I guess. Born and raised in Jersey, 31 years old. I am married to the love of my life, luckily. We've been together almost 14 years, pretty similar to you and Brian, because we all met around the same time. I am a boy mom, very happily a boy mom to my little Nathan Wesley, who was born almost 6 months ago already, which is like blowing my mind every day.
It goes so quick. Like, I don't understand how it goes so quick.
It's the craziest thing. And I know, like, you hear that, like, you know, you're always hearing that, like, oh, it's just everything flies by. But literally, like it really does fly by. It's so crazy. Some days I wake up and I still feel pregnant. I'm like, how, you know, like, how am I, like, rewind 5 months and he's, like, already, like, ready to crawl. And I can only imagine for you, you know exactly what I'm talking about, except when you wake up, you are still pregnant.
Yes.
Which, congratulations again, of course.
Thank you.
But officially. So, yeah, I think that's, like, pretty much it, if, you know, in terms of just the little small things. I don't know if you want to talk about, you know, some of my education background, but I'll let you kind of go from there.
Yeah, so let's jump into it. So let's talk about where you went to school and how you kind of got started off in the industry and how you've progressed into your role now.
Yeah, sure. So kind of a funny story. I feel like whenever I like talk about, you know, how I kind of got into what I'm doing now, I always like to describe it as sort of like a reverse Legally Blonde. It's kind of like one of my favorite movies. Love the movie, love Reese Witherspoon. So that movie always cracks me up. And she, you know, did the whole like fashion thing to lawyer. And I was kind of the opposite. So I started out basically wanting to do pre-law. So you're familiar with that. Went to school for, and I actually have like a minor basically in pre-law slash kind of like criminology. And then one day I just like sort of woke up and out of nowhere, I was just like, this is not for me. And fashion was where I wanted to be. So I literally jumped on a train, like went into the city, went to the Fashion Institute of Technology. I had like hardly ever even been in the city by myself at this point. I went for like an open house and I fell in love with it. And that was like, I never turned back. So I actually graduated from the Fashion Institute with my bachelor's in marketing and advertising, communications. And like I said, I also have that minor, which is so funny. So like I said, reverse Legally Blonde.
So now that you are, you know, working for Peroni, how did you transition from being in the fashion industry to being in the restaurant liquor industry?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was kind of not really something that happened very quickly for me. I mean, I'm, you know, you would know, but like I've been, you know, in the F&B, like the food and beverage industry for a very long time. I basically, you know, started bartending the day I turned 18 years old. And before that I was waitressing at various locations, around Jersey. So I've really been doing this for a very long time in terms of the bartending and the, you know, food and beverage aspect of it. But the fashion stuff and how that kind of came together is just so crazy to me when I look back, because it's kind of like it was always meant to be that way, in a sense. So I like specifically remember sitting in a class, a college class. It was for advertising and marketing. My professor was awesome and he would, you know, send, he'd give us these really great like projects. And our one project for the class was to come up with your own brand, essentially. And you had to like create your own product and start it from the ground up and just go through the whole process of how you would market it and who you would market it to. And I'll never forget, like, I basically picked kind of like a version of Skinny Girl Vodka, if you've ever heard of Skinny Girl.
Yeah.
So like I basically came up with like an idea that was very similar to Skinny Girl. And it was like essentially like a clean vodka, you know, like super low calorie, like that whole kind of process. So it's so funny because I remember being in that class doing that project. And at the end, he even said to me, Kristen, you know, like you would be great in a job in brand management. And it always stuck with me. And I always was kind of like, you know, what is brand management? Like, where do I go from here? You know, like, because I mean, listen, I'm sure that a lot of people can relate that when you come out of college doesn't necessarily mean you know what you want to do.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what happened to me. So I, you know, I came out of college and I felt like I had so many options and there were just so many different things that I wanted to do. I just really didn't know like which way to go. So to be honest, just to pay my college tuition, I stayed in the bar industry, you know, and I really started honing in on not only just bartending in general and my bar skills, but also just kind of getting more into the mixology aspects of it, which is a little bit different than just, you know, bartending. So I was sort of kind of trying to figure out if there was like a niche for me there where I could come up with like menu features or, you know, create different kinds of cocktails for the places that I was working at. And it worked. There were a couple of places that were, you know, very interested in having me help with like creating portfolios for them. I did a little stint as a bar manager at a place that we literally like from the ground up, I helped create the entire menu. It was super exciting. And then along the way, I kind of just came across this. So it fell in my lap, so to say, where one day I had gotten like one of those LinkedIn, you know, like messages or something that said, check out this job, you know? And so this thing with Peroni popped up and essentially it's everything I've been looking for. Peroni is a brand that is heavily, heavily involved in the fashion world, especially in Italy. But here as well, we've gotten, you know, sort of a, just like a footing is really based on fashion, music, arts, and just all of those things that, you know, like I went to school for and that I love. So it kind of was a no-brainer for me, you know, and it's so funny how it came to be.
So what is your day-to-day with brand management? Like, let's get really specific, and because I want people listening who are interested in this field to really kind of grasp, you know, what you do on a day-to-day basis. I know my younger sister, you know, she's on social media all the time. She's in college. She's studying marketing, and she throws around ideas, you know, what she wants to do every other week is something different. And I keep telling her, I'm like, you need to get an internship and really figure out, you know, is branding what you want to do in social media, or do you want to, you know, go the traditional marketing route? And I just think it would be really helpful if you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so your sister, that is so right. Like, you're giving her such great advice because internships are huge and they help so much in kind of like, I feel like discovering, you know, different pathways that you can go. Especially in the marketing world, there's just so many options. So for me, this role is, I'm the brand developer, we actually call it, which is very similar to a brand manager, but every, you know, business kind of has their own spin on it. So my role is brand developer for the state of New Jersey on behalf of Peroni USA. And with that, we're also coupled with all of Molson Coors. So just to give a little quick background, because it gets a little confusing, Molson Coors actually was always MillerCoors until just this year. They did a little bit of like a brand change. And so they've restructured a lot and they decided to call themselves Molson Coors now. So for anybody who, you know, knows the brand a little bit, they were MillerCoors, now they're Molson Coors. So Molson Coors actually owns a ton of brands. They don't just own Miller Lite, Coors Lite, they also own Blue Moon. They own a really great brand called Pilsner Quell, which I also do a team a little bit of work on. And Peroni Nostro Azzurro actually falls into that category. So we I work for an agency, and on the agency side, Molson Coors is our client, and then I work specifically on the Peroni brand. And so my responsibilities mainly consist of creating brand experiences, both trade and consumer-based, educating and sharing brand knowledge with food and beverage directors, managers, bartenders. I go in, I train the staff a lot. I develop exciting menu programs. We come up with restaurant features, product offerings. And then I also just collaborate a lot with management overall to create like tailored events is one of the biggest parts of the job. And so that includes just even like, it could be small scale events within each account, or it could be like large scale events. Like we do film festivals and, you know, big parades around New Jersey and other social gatherings. So there's a lot. There's a lot going on, you know, with all those different moving parts. So it's big. It's a pretty big role. It's, you know, it's probably the most responsibility and the most freedom I've felt in the marketing world, probably throughout my entire career, is this job.
So it sounds like this is definitely a fulfilling career that you have right now. And I'm curious to see, since you're a new mom, how you're able to juggle, you know, mom life and having a career that you love, and, you know, any tips you might have for anybody out there listening.
Oh my goodness. So this question is like, I kind of feel like I need to like throw it to you, and I need tips from you, Erica, because I feel like you do this so well. And like, I'm always just like so blown away with how great you are with like just Lizzie and how you manage like doing not only your regular day-to-day job and like just life, but also doing this podcast. And
Oh, thank you.
I'm like super envious, and I hope that like, you know, to do some of this stuff soon. But right now to me, it's like, hey, I put my hair in a bun today. I feel super accomplished. But yeah, I mean, I guess like for me, the, you know, the juggling the mom and the job stuff has always been something I've been very curious about, because, you know, for a while I commuted to New York. When I first got out of school, it was what I always thought I wanted to do because I loved going to school in the city so much. But then working in New York is like a completely different world. I mean, I know we're right here in Jersey, you know, and like, it's so close, but it's really not.
It's like a love-hate relationship. It's
such a love.
You love like the happy hours and the vibe and the energy, but then also like you get home and you're so exhausted and depleted. It's so hard.
Yeah, it was so hard. And I did it for a couple of years. I actually did a couple different stints. So I did PR for like a year and a half. My internships were all in the city before that. And then I did almost 2 years for a great company that I loved. I was doing like advertising sales for Beverage Media Group, which is like just a whole nother thing. It was like also just such a great experience. But again, like it was that like hustle and bustle every day, like, and not getting home until 7 o'clock at night and then not eating dinner until 8, where I said to myself, how am I going to do this when I have a baby? You know, and like, you know, like I said, my husband and I have been together 14 years. And so we were planning it for a while. And, you know, we really knew that we wanted to start a family soon. And I just kept saying to myself, I was like, this is not the kind of parent I want to be. Like, you know, I want to be there every day for my, you know, my kids. And I want to be active in their life. So for me, this was another big reason why this job made so much sense for me, because technically, all of us, we work remote. So there's only one of me in the state for my team. So my team is dispersed throughout the entire U.S. and there is one of me in every state, but there's only me. So it is a lot. It's a lot of responsibility, although every year we are kind of broken up into different areas. So right now my main focus is to work up in the north. So I do a lot in Hoboken and Jersey City. But what's great is that I make my own schedule, you know, so it's really such a wonderful thing. And I wish, you know, moms had more opportunities like that to, you know, have, a job that's flexible where you could make your own schedule, because for me, that's the way that I juggle it right now. So luckily my husband is a teacher. He gets home at, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock. And then I'm able to go out at 3 o'clock if I need to and see my clients, or, you know, there's a lot of this happening too with like Zoom chats. And, you know, so for me, I guess, that was a big piece of it. And any advice I could give to any moms out there is really just to focus on what makes you happy, of course, obviously, because you need that. You know, you need to be able to have like the balance between making your family happy and also making yourself happy. And then once you find it, you know, just try to figure out like what works best for you, you know? So for me, I work okay at home, you know? So luckily I'm able to work a couple of days from home with this job, and that works great for me. And I've never been a 9-to-5, you know? So I know like I there's definitely a lure in that. And I really like value people who are able to like do the 9-to-5 every day. But for me, working behind a desk 9-to-5 was just never what I wanted. So I love that I'm able to, you know, to get out there and meet people and network every day. And I'm just really big on communication. So I love being able to talk to people. And that's really what this job was for me. So definitely just for those moms out there, just figure out what works for you, you know, and just kind of stick with it and see how you can make it work the best.
I love that advice. You're so dead on, because, you know, different things work for different people. Some people need to be out of the house to work. Other people can handle, you know, can get stuff done from home, you know? And I kind of feel like we fall into the category of me and you that like, we want to be home with our babies and mm-hmm. we're just going to do whatever we have to do to make it work.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. That's not easy.
No.
It's really not, you know, and it's definitely, that is a whole nother thing I'm still trying to figure out, honestly, like, and navigating just doing it, and especially now, because obviously so many of us are home, you know, and, like, so many of us are forced to be in this world now where we're, like, doing everything from our, you know, our computers and with the kids running around and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think we're all kind of navigating that landscape right now, and I think we could all totally just share tips and hopefully, like, just get on the same page with a lot of people and see, like, kind of how this goes from here, you know, because, like, none of us even know what tomorrow brings right now.
Absolutely.
That's currently going on, so.
It's funny because I've been doing a lot of conference calls, and so has my husband, and, you know, it's like all those memes going around. It's like, can everyone please mute their computer? Or, you know, you hear like, you know, somebody asks you a question and then you're like trying to unmute your computer because your kid's screaming in the background. And it's so funny that like everybody's in our shoes right now. And it's like, it is hard. Totally. Like, it looks so glamorous and I'm so guilty of this. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to work from home. It's going to be the best, blah, blah, blah. And it is the best, but it is really challenging.
Totally. Totally. And then having both of you work from home is a whole nother thing too.
Oh, totally.
So, you know, it's like we've been trying to figure out, like, what's the dynamic? You know, like, do you wake up first and you go on while I have him? And then do we switch? Or, like, do we take turns? Or, like, you get certain hours? You know, like, it's crazy. It's just a whole nother world that I feel like we're all living in right now. And it's bizarre. But it is, I mean, listen, if, you know, if there's any, I guess, light, you know, to sort of what's been happening, it is, I'm so grateful to just be able to have those extra moments with him, you know, that I probably wouldn't have, you know, if I was out, like, on the road constantly right now. And, you know, it's obviously, of course, what's happening outside is terrible, and it's awful that that's what's kind of sometimes what makes you really appreciate the small things in life. But that's exactly how I feel right now. It's just appreciating every little moment, you know, being home with him, especially at this young stage of his life where every day he's doing something new, you know, like having my husband here for, and both of us, it's a blessing in disguise for sure.
It definitely is. I totally agree with that. Another good point that I want to make is that I've been talking to a couple of my other friends who, you know, they're moms, but they still work at the office every day, or they're just not sure how they can work from home and things like that. And we were saying, you know, if nothing else comes out of this from their point of view, this is like showing that moms can work from home. You know, there's like such like a taboo look at working from home, like, oh, it's so easy, or they're not going to do work and blah, blah, blah. And it's like showing like bosses like, yeah, we can do a really good job working from home. We don't need to be in the office.
100%. Yeah. I feel like I've kind of heard about that stigma from even just a couple of friends of mine who have worked, you know, from home in the past, and who like have that more traditional 9-to-5 sort of report to, you know, like a boss every day. And I remember, you know, it was my cousin who was telling me just like that, I guess they were kind of like giving her some backlash on, you know, are you going to be able to get your work done? Like, you need to make sure that you have like a sitter. So yeah, I agree with you. I hope that this at least opens, you know, their eyes to the fact that we can multitask. It's kind of like the main part of being a mom is multitasking, you know, and I hope it does show that like we can have our career, we can have our family. We don't have to choose, you know, we can do it all.
I love that. I totally agree.
We are super heroes.
So what are some of your short-term and long-term goals here?
So that's a big one, I feel like, always. You know, short-term, of course, is, like I said, this, you know, this role for me has been great, you know, and is great. I'm with them now almost 2 years, and it doesn't even feel like that. So that's always a good sign, you know, when, like, you wake up and you're like, wow, I can't believe I've been doing something for X amount of time. I feel like that means that you're kind of loving what you do, which I find to be so important in life in general, is to just always love what you do. So I think just for me short term right now is to keep enjoying that, you know. And unfortunately right now, you know, restaurants and bars during this whole pandemic are really suffering a lot. It's awful what's been going on, and I really think that we're going to see a huge shift at the end of this. And unfortunately, I feel like there's going to be you know, a lot of places that are either closing or they're not able to maintain, you know, their status quo, you know, against all these other competitors after being closed for this many months. So I'm a little. The short term for me is I'm a little up in the air, you know, Erica, like, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know, you know, what our jobs are going to look like in a couple of months, or, you know, it's just, there's so many questions right now. So I think short term, just roll with the punches, you know, and see sort of where we're at the end of the tunnel. And then long term, I've always had this, you know, this dream of starting up actually like my own little boutique event design business, and maybe even adding a little bit of like a personal shopping spin on that. So definitely looking into that, you know, down the road, and maybe even getting into podcasting a little bit too, or, you know, doing some social media stuff with that along with it. So that's probably long term. I would love to look into that a little more.
That sounds like so much fun. I love that you're already thinking about the bigger the bigger picture, the next step. So I did want to talk a little bit about the relevancy of what's going on right now and how the quarantine has, you know, affected your industry and how, you know, your role as a brand representative, you know, like what your role is in navigating that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, in that last question, I just started to hit the surface of that because it's so bizarre right now, you know, just like being someone who has worked in, you know, the restaurant industry for so long, like seeing what's happening day to day right now is just mind blowing. Especially because I can really relate to, especially like the staff, you know, the bartenders and the restaurant staff in general, because I was that for so long, you know. And so I think it's hard to really like put your finger to the pulse of like how bad it is right now in that business. You know, like if you're a bartender, just think about that. Like you've been out of work with no income essentially, like for months now, and really know when you're going to go back, you know, like, or what it's going to look like when you get back. And, you know, of course, yeah, there's unemployment and there's things like that, but that's not the same, you know, like it's nowhere near the same. And of course,
my parents, you know, I took maternity leave. I know what it's like to, you know, to be on unemployment for a little while. And it's hard. It's very difficult, you know, like to navigate those waters. Even if you are a two-income household, it's still extremely difficult. So the restaurant industry right now, I mean, it's astounding, like, what's going on with them. I looked up a couple of numbers today just to kind of see, like, what was going on, like, you know, nationwide. And, like, Restaurant Association was reporting that already there have been 3 million lost and $25 billion in sales since March 1st.
Wow, that's crazy.
Crazy, like crazy. They're expecting that by the end of March that the restaurant business will have lost 60% and over $45 billion. That's like, the numbers are just mind-blowing.
My friend is actually a manager at a restaurant, and she was telling me that you know, her bosses were saying that even when things, you know, quote unquote, go back to normal, they're going to only be allowed to have like 30% of the restaurant at capacity.
Yeah.
And you know, like at some, and you know, the tables have to be 6 feet apart or, you know, 12 feet, yeah, whatever it, yeah, is. And it's just so, without getting like political or anything, it's just so extreme from, you, yeah, know, where we were previously. That,
yeah, and how do you even do it?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, that's another thing, is like, realistically, it's great that, you know, like, obviously there needs to be rules, there needs to be things in place, but really, like, how do you even start to begin to do something like that? You know, like, you're never going to be able to guarantee that people are going to actually social distance when they're in the position. You know, the restaurants, it's also like, there's even a part of, so the business that, you know, that I do with the restaurants is a lot of times I assist the sales staff. So people who are actually selling the beer and bringing it and delivering it, I work with them a lot. And right now, like, they're not even really working. So even for the couple of businesses that are still open, like my accounts that are operating, they're not even operating as they normally would. And so even some places are not allowed to do that. I mean, I know that there's been some rules lifted, you know, without getting too technical, but, you know, like, there are rules in place that, like, just because you're a restaurant doesn't mean that you're technically allowed to serve packaged goods, you know. So, like, you can't just go to a random restaurant and take home a six pack. That's a physical license that restaurant has to have previously before that they're allowed to do that or operate that way. So a lot of these businesses that don't have those licenses, that's why you saw most of them close, because and they can't do those kinds of things without having those permits in place previously. And I think, you know, like, they've done a good job at lifting some of these rules, but it's not that easy for a lot of these places to do that. So it's sad, but that's why so many of them are just like every day, like, I see another one of my accounts drop off, another one of them can't do takeout, they can't, you know, sustain delivery. It's really sad. It's sad to watch just all these places close their doors, and it's places that we love and, you know, that we support. And it's really hard. And as a brand manager, I mean, you know, like, our main role is to obviously focus on our specific brand, but it's almost difficult to even do that, you know, because at this point we just want to be able to help the account, you know, and help the bartenders in any way that we can, or help the staff or the management, you know. So for me, it's been really challenging. I've had to find multiple ways to navigate a business that's based on interaction with people into virtual, essentially, you know, and just like trying to still maintain these relationships without seeing anybody. And it's very difficult.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I'm really dreading seeing how, you know, this whole world is going to be so different from the, like, free lifestyle we did before. But I did want to shift to a little bit of a happier note before we wrap up. Can you tell me about some of the different ways that Peroni gives back?
Yeah. So again, we have me essentially in every market. So really, I focus mostly on just the New Jersey market and what I'm able to do or what I've been doing. Although my whole team across the U.S. is doing like amazing work, just making sure that we do try to help out as much as possible and give back what we can. So for me, a couple of ways that I've been trying to interact and give back is to partner with some of these restaurants that are doing takeout and delivery. And so recently, a week or so ago, or a couple of weeks ago, we had National Beer Day, which is always in the beginning of April. So for example, I had a flyer drawn up for National Beer Day that a couple of accounts featured on their social media pages. And so during a 3-day period, anyone who purchased a Peroni 6-pack to go along with their takeout order, we donated 20% of the proceeds back to the USBG's National Bartender Relief Program. USBG is just a national bartender, basically like group, networking group that functions to really like help bartenders across the U.S. stay in touch and just network. So they started their own relief program, which is really great, and it gives back to bartenders all over. So bartenders can go and they can apply to be part of the program, and then they send them however much reimbursement they can, which is really nice. So for that week, we donated back. And I'm actually doing that again this week. I coupled with a social media group in Hoboken. I'm actually pairing with a couple social media groups, but one of them is called Hoboken Happy Hours. And we're going to be doing this really cool virtual happy hour event on Wednesday. So people were purchasing tickets, and the ticket gets you a pizza from a local pizza place in Hoboken, along with a 6-pack of Peroni. And I think you get a cool like signature glass with it also. And then part of the virtual happy hour is that I'll be on teaching how to pour the perfect Peroni. And then we also have a mixologist, this amazing account in Hoboken called Antique Bar and Bakery. Stop by if you've ever been there, if you're ever in Hoboken. Awesome food. When we're back up and running, obviously. But so we're partnering with them as well, and they're going to teach how to make a cocktail on this virtual platform, which is super cool because I feel like we haven't really done this in the past before. But so, yeah, again, part of the proceeds of all the ticket sales are going to go to that bartender relief program as well. So that's one main way right now that we've been giving back locally in the state.
That's such a great program. I had no idea, but especially right now, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, it's definitely, like I said, it's been difficult to navigate, but there are ways for sure that we are trying to do what we can, even if it's a small amount. I've been working with a couple of other small restaurants too, to see if I can pair up with them on giving things back to the frontline workers, because obviously, you know, we're so supportive of them and everything that they're doing. Me and you have quite a few friends on that front line, you know, very close people to us, including I have family on the front lines, you know, so I'm definitely trying my best to see if I can navigate how we can even just give them something to give them a little joy each day, you know, so I've been pairing with a couple of accounts on that as well. So whether it be, we're going to be sending out some meals to them, maybe, you know, sending out some Peroni in cases where we can, and just trying to give back in any way, shape, and form to them as well. So definitely trying to figure out how to navigate giving back as much as possible.
So unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our session, but I did want to ask you, I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Ooh, fun. I feel like it's very traditional, but I really enjoy just the lemon ginger is like one of my faves.
You know, it's so funny. Literally,
classic.
Yeah, almost everybody says that flavor. And that's like one of the only flavors that like I can't handle. I don't know why.
Wow. Oh, no, and I think I sent you one, right?
I didn't even check what the flavors were yet. My husband was like, ooh, Peroni. And I was like, oh, wait. Hold on.
Yeah, well, because it's so mixable, though. I feel like lemon ginger is, like, it just kind of goes with everything, you know?
Totally.
So, like, that's a little spoiler, but I'm definitely going to have a lemon ginger Peroni cocktail kind of getting whipped up for you coming up soon. So,
love that.
Yeah, we'll play around with some stuff and some other flavors. But I'm a classic girl. I just like the lemon ginger.
And can you share with everybody where they can find you and where they can find Peroni on social media?
Yeah, so Peroni has a couple of pages, but we always like to just use the @PeroniUSA hashtag and handle. And then me, I have a little Insta that I've been working on for a while. You can find me at She's Ready to Revel. It's a play on words because Revel is actually my last name, but Revel means to party. So She's Ready to Revel on Instagram.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Erica, thank you so much for having me. It was great to chat with you. I really appreciate it.